Welcome to Growth for Good. I'm Drew Hendry, and this podcast is about the people building businesses and communities across the Highlands in a way that's good for their customers, good for the teams, and good for the places they call home. Today I'm joined by Olivia Grant, Operations Manager at Boleskine Community Care in Foyers on the south shore of Loch Ness. Olivia is 23 years old, a sixth generation member of her family in the area, and the person who has led the community buyout of Foyers Stores, the only shop on a 35-mile stretch between Inverness and Fort Augustus. She wrote the Scottish Land Fund application that secured over £365,000, coordinated a funding package that exceeded £500,000 in total, and got the whole thing over the line before a hard deadline that had no flexibility whatsoever. So we talk about what was really at stake when the store went up for sale, how she navigated the funding process with no template to follow, what it takes to hold a volunteer-led project together under pressure, and what comes next for the store, the community, and the people who live there. This is a proper Highland story, so I hope you enjoy it. Hello, Olivia, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks very much for inviting me on.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on this episode. Before we get started, I just want to go into a wee bit about your relationship with the community. Mm-hmm. You're, as far as I'm aware, a sixth generation member of the Grant family with deep roots in the local community. Tell us about Strathairk and Foyers, and what does it mean to you, that community, about with for somebody who has such deep roots there?
So my dad is actually a Grant from Invermorriston, which is just across the loch opposite Strathairk and Foyers. My mum is a Fraser, and it's the Fraser family that have the deep roots in Strathairk and Foyers. I'm sixth generation of that family. And I think just working with people I have known all my life, and people that were my grandparents' friends, my mum and dad's friends, being able to support every generation in the community is really, really nice.
What was it? You were doing a psychology degree, which is hard enough because there's a lot of effort involved in that. But you were also working 30 hours a week with Boleskine Community Care. What was it about this project, the Foyers Stores, that made you so committed to getting something done about it?
So I was actually the COVID generation leaving school. So I had done all the work for my advanced hires and was due to go to university in Edinburgh when COVID hit. And I decided that I would do a year through the UHI in Inverness online to start my degree rather than go to Edinburgh and be stuck in a student accommodation. So I started that online and I actually really, really enjoyed it online and through the UHI. So I decided not to go to Edinburgh and just continue doing it that way. And I found doing it online was flexible enough that I could work alongside that. I used to sort of put all my work and maybe get it all done in one day rather than spreading it over the week. So I started with Boleskine Community Care on 17 and a half hours. And I actually got a grant from Age Scotland for a befriending service, which allowed me to initially up my hours. And now I'm on 37 and a half, so I'm full time now. But the Foyers Stores project really inspired me because I knew it's what the community wanted, it's what the community needs. We're 18 miles from Inverness, and Foyers Shop is the only shop on a 35-mile stretch between Inverness and Fort Augustus.
And this was an asset that was in danger of going out of business altogether.
Yeah.
So when you're saying that you were so far away from the other shops, this is really a community lifeline.
It is, definitely, and especially the post office, because it's a banking facility. It also, people are able to top up their electricity there. We have a very poor public service provision in the area, so quite often if you go in on the bus, you can't get back home for hours and hours. So the store really is a lifeline. And not only does it serve the local people, but it also has a huge tourist trade as well.
And were your employers, Bolesk and Community Care, were they very supportive of the work you were doing to try and rescue this asset for people?
Yes, yeah, I know they definitely were. So Bolesk and Community Care actually upped my hours 5 hours a week to work on the shop project. I think it definitely ended up going a lot over 5 hours a week. But yeah, no, they're very supportive, and it's Bolesk and Community Care that will own the building. Yeah.
Well, I've been following your progress on this for quite some considerable time. Mm-hmm. We've been messaging as it's gone along. So I know the work you've put in. So I think those 5 hours are probably 50 hours of your own time every week as well with it. So well done with that. Again, just for people who might not know the community, though, how would you describe the local area and the community there?
So obviously it's a rural community. We're all very spread out. So we have a population of about 800 people. We definitely have an older population. There's a lot of people that have moved to the area to retire. We've actually had our local primary school in Foyers has been shut down because there's no children in the area. So yeah, we very much are an older demographic. Quite a lot of space between each settlement.
Quite often you'll be the youngest person around.
Definitely. Definitely the youngest person at meetings for sure. But I would love to try and get some more young people involved. And I'm actually pleased to say that the recent public meeting we had about the shop, I managed to get quite a few teenagers to come along. So that was great to see.
Going back to Foyers Stores, I mentioned that, you know, it was in jeopardy of going out of business. And you've talked about how it's got the post office, it's a bit of a hub for the community. It's more than that, because you were talking on the fact that you're miles from anywhere, and you've said it's a very rural community there with many old people. The fact is that it's just really challenging in terms of public transport to get anywhere else. This isn't, you know, one of these situations where somebody could just hop on a bus and it might be a bit inconvenient. It would be a proper kind of hole in the provision, wouldn't it, if it didn't exist, if we didn't have this good outcome?
Yeah, it definitely would. The store had actually been for sale for quite some time, but sort of the thing that really highlighted it was the owners got a change of use passed, so it meant that the building could be sold potentially for Airbnb or to be turned into flats. It didn't need to continue to be a shop and post office and cafe. And because of its location and how it looks right over the Falls of Foyers, the loch, the upstairs is definitely prime location for some sort of holiday accommodation. So it was from that the community really said, we don't want to lose this.
But what was the mood? You said that the community said they didn't want to lose this. Was there a sense of, I don't know, panic or alarm? Or what was the mood of people when they saw that change of use come through?
I think people just wondered what they would actually do if it wasn't there. I mean, even myself, I thought, would I have to go into Inverness every Monday morning to get milk for the community hub? Mm. Because where else would I get it from? We would have to do that. And just the thought of how many more journeys that would bring to Inverness and how many more miles everyone would have to travel, it's a lot. And we also are in partnership with the Highland Hospice to provide the care at home service in the area. And the carers use the shop a lot for the clients. And I just thought, how would that work? There's so many different things that would really be impacted if we lost it.
So what were the first meetings like when you got people together to talk about these? About the opportunity and the threat?
Yeah, so initially a steering group was set up between Strathfeirc and Foyers Community Council, the Community Trust and Bolesk and Community Care to discuss how we would proceed with it. And it was Bolesk and Community Care that put themselves forward to be the driving force behind it. We had several meetings. We actually did a stage one Scottish Land Fund application, which allows you to do a feasibility study and consultations and things with the community ahead of actually going for the stage two full application.
And for people who don't really ever engage with community organisations, this has been a really, really big intervention in a community, hasn't it? Where we've got this result where people are going to be able to continue to use this service, this vital lifeline service. So what does that say to you about community organisations and how people should view them?
I think it showed me the power that communities can actually have if they really do step up and try to achieve things. I mean, there's a lot of hype around community empowerment. You see it a lot in the press. There's a lot of funds out there that are energize communities or empower communities, but quite often you need the resources behind you as well. You need the people that can commit the time, have the knowledge to actually proceed with these things. And I think it just showed that really getting a good group of people together that had the passion to take a project like that forward, it's great to see that it was done and it is achievable for other areas.
Now, getting something like this over the line doesn't just happen in thin air. You personally wrote the Scottish Land Fund application, didn't you? And that was worth hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Yes, it was worth £365,611, to be exact.
The £11 is very important.
It is, yes.
Well, it will be, because all of this does count, doesn't
it? Yeah, of course it does, yeah. So it was split up between the actual cost for purchasing the building, but they also funded essential repairs to the building, as well as our legal fees. So yeah, it was a very specific amount, but it's all allocated.
So you wrote that document. How did you even know where to start with that?
So we got some really good support from Highlands and Islands Enterprise, Paul Harrington and Katrina there, and they were really, really helpful. So we had a couple of sessions to sit down with them and go through things. We had Community Enterprise that developed our business plan for us, who were fantastic. So all those documents came together. I wrote the actual application form, gathered all the quotes from the workmen. That was definitely a challenge, getting people to come out to foyers to quote for building work. But we managed to get it all over the line. I actually ended up submitting the application in the passenger seat of my horse lorry on the way to a competition down in England. While my mum was driving, I submitted it. So
you're in the back,
yes,
typing away.
Yes.
Yeah. So you mentioned all these other people that have been involved in doing that, and quite rightly praising their work. But somebody had to coordinate all this. Mm-hmm. So that's quite a big job. So you were saying that my question was, how did you know where to start? And you said, right, well, these people helped. But you had to get that initiated in the first instance, didn't you?
Yes, I did. So although there was the steering group there and we had the stage one application through, so we had done the feasibility work, we had to then sort of say, yes, we think this is a feasible project and we want to go ahead with that. So as I say, it was myself and the BCC trustees that really took it forward with the community.
And then you had to go a stage further because there was a deadline.
There was, yes.
Of, I think, the 31st of March 2026.
Yes.
So everything you were doing had to match that deadline or the money would be gone, that money,
yes,
you've just talked about. The final piece of the puzzle was down back to the local community, wasn't it? Tell us what happened there.
So Strathairkin Forest Community Trust, they manage the community benefit fund that we have in the area. We have a lot of wind farms that contribute towards community benefit. So we had to apply to them. We actually successfully got £160,000 from them. But it was quite a lengthy process, and we had to do a presentation at a public meeting, and there was quite a lot of steps to it.
And community organisations, by definition, are made up of volunteers,
yes,
and it's quite difficult to get people all together, and,
mm-hmm,
and sometimes it's quite difficult to get them to meet deadlines.
Of course.
So you had a bit of work there to use your negotiation skills to pull everybody,
yes,
together.
Yes, definitely. And I always say I've learned a lot about people from this project, that's for sure. But no, yeah, everyone's volunteers. Obviously, BCC's all volunteers, so is the Trust, the Community Council. So it is a lot to ask of the community, these projects.
And was there a time where you thought, this is all slipping away, we're going to lose this? Were you at any point genuinely worried about it?
I think the Scottish Land Fund deadline, it was very tight. We'd been told that this is the last year of the Scottish Land Fund and everything has to be spent by the 31st of March. And actually, when I spoke to them and said, is there any room around that? They said no, and they'd actually already made another community pay their money back that they'd been awarded. So that really was...
It was high stakes, wasn't
it? Yes, yeah. So we got a huge percentage of the fund that was awarded to the Highland. So the thought of potentially having to pay that back was very scary.
Yeah, it would be. So you felt that although there were challenges, there were difficulties, because of your organisation skills, clearly, and operational management skills now, as we understand, you were quite confident, worried a little bit, but confident, would that be fair?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think as well, the other worry was getting the essential repairs done. So that consisted of work on the roof, new windows in the building and new flooring. And obviously that had to be done before the 31st of March. So I had to get all the workmen to agree to be in position to start at the beginning of March and have it finished by the 31st.
And you said that was probably the most challenging.
It was, yeah, definitely. And especially getting three quotes for each thing, it is hard in a rural area.
And you're looking at it now, as we speak, I think there are new windows going in. There's other bits and pieces happening. Do you get a sense of excitement looking at it?
Definitely. I'm really excited to see the windows going in, actually.
New triple glazed windows.
Yes, and I've entered my interior design era and ordered sage green windows.
Very nice.
I hope we don't have the community saying, who ordered green windows?
So they'll know, because we're now on record, they'll know where to come. But they sound like really nice. And again, it's a place I know really well.
Yeah.
I can imagine that looking fantastic. When do you get the opportunity to present it to the public?
So we're actually, as part of the project, Forest Community Stores are launching a community share offer, and we're doing a launch event on the 20th of March, which is a Friday. So the plan is to do an afternoon event at the shop, and then we've actually hired Strathairic Hall in Gorflick to do a community party just to celebrate the fact that we have got this for the community.
And for those people, again, who don't know, Gorflick Hall, again, is a wonderful community
project. It is, project, yeah. Yeah, no, it really is. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the most central location for our community. Mm-hmm. So it'd be great to see people from every corner coming along on the night, and we've got a live band booked, and I think it'll be really good.
Olivia, you've told us about the buyout, and that secures the property. It means that, you know, the asset, as we've discussed, is going to remain a vital part of the community. But there's a second phase coming, isn't there? There's some affordable housing, I understand, going above the shop. Is that right? Tell us about that.
Yes, there is. So upstairs above the shop, that's where the owners currently live. And it's a very big flat up there. And I realised there's a big need in our community for affordable housing. We had houses built by the Community Housing Trust just along the road in Inverfaragaig, and they built six houses and had 55 applicants for those houses. And out of those 55, 50 of them were single people or couples. So I realised there's a real need for smaller houses in the area. So initial consultation with an architect, they suggested that we would get three flats above the shop, two single person flats and one 2-bedroom flat. So that's a really exciting phase two.
You mentioned that's exciting. Three flats actually in a place like Foyers. It is a substantial build, really.
It is.
What do you feel that means to the community? Do you think that is going to be something that is going to help you to anchor people there and, you know, again, keep the community going? Because you were talking about the difficulties with the school and, you know, the ageing population. Do you think that will benefit?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think to see that one building can provide so much for the community. I mean, not only are we saving the shop and the cafe and the post office and the jobs that come along with that, we're then also providing houses for at least three people to stay in the area. And I just think it's such a fantastic thing to see. And it's more sustainable as well, renovating a building that's there. It's a historic building for the area. So it'll be great to see that modernised and used for generations to come.
And the model for keeping it running, you obviously won't be, you don't own it. The community are going to own it, so it's going to have some model going forward. Tell us what the mechanism is for the ownership of that building and the management of it going forward.
Yeah, so Forest Community Stores is a community benefit society, and that means it's a democratic organisation where shareholders become members of the society. And then they have voting power to vote at AGMs to say what they want
so
to happen.
So this shareholding, which you mentioned earlier, yeah. that share offer is only for local people? It's for community people, isn't it?
So it's actually open to everyone, but 51% of shareholders need to be local people. So that keeps the control local. And regardless of how much you invest, if you invest £25, which is the minimum, or £25,000, you get no more of a say in the project. So it's one person, one vote.
And so it is. So that's an opportunity for you to take. So anybody listening or watching to this, there is an opportunity for them to invest in
yes.
this community store.
Yeah.
Even if they don't live there.
Uh-huh.
And basically the control will still remain with the community as it should.
It will.
But they can feel part of this even if they live nowhere near it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I'm hoping that people will do, maybe people that plan to visit sometime, people that are going around Loch Ness, if they invested in it, it would be lovely for them to come and see what their money has done.
Yeah, so people have been to visit the Falls of Foyers
yeah.
or been to look at the red squirrels or whatever, or just passed through or just had a cup of coffee there in the past, they're all open to getting involved in that.
Yeah, definitely. So as I say, it'll be launching on the 20th of March, and our target is £50,000, which we're hoping is quite an achievable figure. We did a pledge campaign initially and we achieved £30,000 overnight. So I'm hoping that 50 is quite achievable.
And you'd be delighted if you got more than that.
100%, yeah, definitely.
So yes. Again, the message is to anybody watching or listening, if you think this is a great idea, why not just
yeah.
support it?
Yeah, and the more money we get from that, the more we'll be able to do with the project and to the building. So yeah, invest.
Beleskin Community Care, we're also the first rural organisation to partner with a hospice mm-hmm. on care at home, as I understand it. What is it about your community that makes you do things first? What is that? Tell us about that spirit.
I think it's just the fact that if we don't do it, who else will? Obviously, being so rural, we don't have a care at home service in the area if it wasn't for Beleskin Community Care. And that's what they were set up originally to do in 2014. So that's been the main objective of the charity since it started. And it's great to see it being so successful with the hospice. We have a really stable team. We've managed actually to get a grant from SSE for 2 electric cars. So the carers now don't have to use their own cars. So yeah, it's really great to see, and I think, yeah, we just thought, or the original founders of the charity thought, this is a service that's needed in the area, and we're going to set something up to provide it.
Well, you're demonstrating a real kind of commitment to thinking about the community
mm-hmm.
strategically. That's what you've managed to do within your community. If somebody's watching this or listening to this from another community somewhere else, and they're feeling a bit, I don't know, powerless,
mm-hmm.
Don't really know where to turn, what advice would you give them? What would you say to them?
I think there's definitely so much support out there that you can go to and ask for help. And I think if you have the right group of people together, a committee that gets on really well, then I think it's definitely achievable. If you have the passion and drive to put into these projects, then I would say go for it and it can be done. And
where did you start with the, again, for people who might be in a community looking for doing, where did you start with the plan? Did you start with the vision of what you wanted to create, or did you say, look, we've just got to save this? So where was the starting point for that?
Yeah, so we had 2 trustees of Beleskin Community Care that actually have sadly passed away now, our previous chairperson and treasurer, and it was their idea that they wanted it to become a community asset. They'd originally thought that potentially Beleskin Community Care could actually move upstairs and keep the shop running below. Obviously that's not the most practical because it's on the second floor and there would just be issues around that. But it was them that really started the process. So Kit and Neil, I think if they're looking down, they'll be very proud of us now.
Yeah, well, people want to remember them and their effort that
yes.
they put in to get this done. It's
yeah,
very,
definitely.
Very inspirational
it
for
is.
Them. So, you know, you're talking about people in your community. you've been rooted in the community. You mentioned your mother's long-reaching and established connection with the community, and your father not too far away, and all their ancestors as well in that community. You've obviously spent a lot of time there. Tell us about you, Olivia. What do you do round about Strathairic and Foyers? What kind of hobbies? What do you do for your time?
So I have horses, actually. Mm-hmm. So I've competed in equestrian sports all my life. I think I rode before I could walk. So I've represented Scotland quite a few years doing that, so I do a lot of travelling.
So you've represented Scotland?
Yeah.
How did that feel?
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. I think the first time I did it, I was maybe 12 or 13, so I've been doing it for a while, and yeah, it's definitely really nice. And I actually, because of that, got a scholarship to go to school down in Perth. I went to a school called Kilgraston for the first 4 years of secondary school, and then I moved home and went to school in John the Drochet in Glenochart. So it's really great, and I've always loved being home, and I think I'll definitely stay there for life.
So the horses, you spend a lot of time with them. Do you have any other animals or anything else that you...
Yeah, I've got three sausage dogs. So I've got Granny, Daughter and Granddaughter.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got Noodles, who's the oldest, Hetty and Crumble. So they're really characters, and they're great. And Hetty and Crumble can be a bit naughty and run off around the community sometimes.
The reason I'm asking, because one of the themes really in Growth for Good is about... obviously, people making a commitment to do something either ethically or, you know, to push their community forward and, you know, creating business that way. But one of the other things that we often touch on is how you deal with stress.
Okay.
So I was interested to know if you had a release from all of this, because it's been quite an intense thing that you've been involved in over a period of time.
Yeah, no, it definitely has. So yeah, definitely the horses, going out on a hack around the area, it's beautiful and it's very quiet. So it's definitely a stress release.
We're just talking there about how you deal with the stress of these things. And I was talking about the themes of Growth for Good. Of course, Growth for Good is about people doing business in a better way, often doing things for the benefit of their customers and so forth, their clients, without focusing maybe always on, just getting the money in quickly. And also about community. That term, Growth for Good, what does that mean to you?
I think, to me, it means growing in a way that does good for everybody. With the shop project, yes, of course, we want to make a profit and we want it to be viable for the community. But the most important thing about that is having that asset there for the community to use. The social aspect that the cafe brings, it's a meeting place, it's a hub. So I think you don't want to get too caught up on profits and the success of the business. You need to think about the people behind it. And at the public meeting that we had in Wildside and Whitebridge about the shop, I actually started my speech by saying that I want to ground this project in the people, not the paperwork. And I think that's a really good line.
What a great way of putting it. And of course, what you're planning here is something that's going to last for a long time.
Yeah.
And be deep-rooted as you are in the community over a period of time. So. I think it's fantastic what you've achieved. I think people watching and listening to this will be really impressed by not only the work you've done, but the work that you've helped the community to put together. And of course, those unsung heroes are always in the background.
Course,
we mentioned a few of them, but we know there's more. Olivia Grant, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the Growth for Good podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Well, that was Olivia Grant, and I want to say again just how remarkable what she and the community in Foyers have achieved actually is. £500,000 raised, a building secured, jobs protected, and a place that's been at the heart of that community since 1895, still open for the people who need it. If you want to be a part of what comes next, Foyers Community Stores are launching a community share offer. The minimum investment is £25 and every shareholder gets one vote regardless of how much they put in. And the link is in the show notes. If this conversation has been useful to you, the best thing you can do is share it with someone else who is building something in the Highlands or leave a review wherever you listen. It makes a real difference to how many people find the podcast. I'm Drew Hendry. Thanks for listening to and watching Growth for Good.